Lately I've been looking back along this winding road to the old familiar markers of the mercies I have known. I know it may sound simple, but it's more than a cliche. No other words to tell you than to say, God's been good in my life. I feel blessed beyond my wildest dreams when I go to sleep each night. And though I've had my share of hard times, by my side He's always stood through it all. God's been good. Times replay, and I can see I've cried some bitter tears, but I felt His arms around me as I face my darkest fears. I've had more gains than losses, and I've known more joy than hurt, as His grace rolled down upon me undeserved. God's been good in my life. I feel blessed beyond my wildest dreams when I go to sleep each night. And though I've had my share of hard times, by my side He's always stood through it all. God's been good. God has been my Father, my Savior, and my friend. His love was my beginning, His love will be my end. I could spend forever trying to tell you everything He is, but the best way I can say it is this: God's been good in my life. I feel blessed beyond my wildest dreams when I go to sleep each night. And though I've had my share of hard times, by my side He's always stood through it all. God's been good.
I'm sorry, chapter 5, 1 Peter chapter 5. Will you find that if you would stand to your feet, please? 1 Peter chapter 5. First Peter chapter 5, read a couple of familiar verses, verse number 8 and 9. And why don't we read these together in unison, both verses, 1 Peter chapter 5, verse number 8 and 9. We'll read that together, ready, and begin. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for the night. Be with the message, Lord. Be with my words. Lord, I pray that you would give power and effectiveness to your word as it's preached. Holy Spirit, please help. And Lord, help me, Lord, to say what you want and hold back anything that shouldn't. And just guide tonight and do work that only you can do. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. We'll look at these verses, very, very simple and easy to look at the subject tonight about the devil. About the devil. I don't want to ruin family game night and Labor Day weekend, but we'll see how quickly we can do that. Tonight, I thought, man, it's been a good service. Do I need to preach the message about the devil tonight? But yes, we do. And so I want to look at this message tonight. It says, be sober, be vigilant, because your, what's the next word? Adversary, the devil. An adversary is one's opponent in a contest. An opponent, the enemy, the side that you don't root for. This morning we were joking around. I don't care about either way. Brother Drew's flashing the Tennessee gear up there. I said, you got to hide your sins. Tuck it under your jacket or something at least. Just a joke though. But in a contest, you have an enemy. You have an opponent. You might be brothers. You might be friends. You may went to college together, whatever it may be. But when you get on the other side of the court from them, you're not friends anymore. Doesn't mean you need to lose your testimony. Should I put that out there as well? But they're not your friends. You can be friends before, you can be friends after, but during that time, they're the opponent. And the Bible says, because you have an adversary, the devil. We have one opponent. We have one true enemy, and that's the devil. And the Bible says, he's as a roaring lion walking about seeking whom he may devour. If that verse doesn't get our attention as to the importance that God gives us about the craftiness, the power that Satan can have over your life, if you allow him to, because he's walking about seeking whom he may devour. You could imagine if a lion got loose in the church or in your neighborhood, that you would be extra vigilant, wouldn't you? You would be extra careful. Maybe you'd send your little brothers outside. I'm not sure. Maybe that pet you don't like so much, you're like, here, go play. Go run off now. But if you have a roaring lion walking about looking to eat and destroy something, you would be extra on guard. You'd be extra careful. You see those people that they go to zoos and somehow they get inside like the gorilla cage or with the lions and you think, how did you get in there? This did not happen by accident. And they're playing with the enemy. They may look cute, but they're going to grow up and become very dangerous. I'm talking about the lions, not the children. Seeking whom he may devour. And the Bible says, whom resists steadfast in the faith. I want to preach a message tonight about Satan, our enemy. You'd say, well, Pastor Becker, we're here on a Sunday night. We understand who the enemy is. And I believe that is the case, but how many times do we understand who the enemy is, but yet we don't put up the proper guards in our lives? And it seems that we go and play with the enemy. It seems that sometimes that we welcome the enemy into our home. We welcome the enemy into our lives. We allow our children to play around with the enemy. And if it was a lion, there's no way you let your child around that roaring lion seeking to devour someone. I remember I wasn't on the trip, but Pastor Johnson talking about going to, where was it you went to the, in Africa? Kenya. And going to Kenya where they drove out to the wildlife safari park there where it was just wild African animals, and they went out running through the brush. And I think it was Brother Matt and was it Doc? Did Doc go out there too? A couple of the guys went out there. And playing around, they're like, there are lions out here seeking to devour someone. And you might be on a vacation looking to take pictures, but they're not on a vacation. And they're looking to devour someone or something. And white meat, you know, dark meat, it doesn't really matter too much. You go out there, they're looking for either one of those to go for. I'm not against either, by the way. But we have an enemy, and that's Satan. And we must understand the importance that the enemy has in our life, how the danger, I should say, the enemy can have in our life. I'm going to look at a number of terms that the Word of God gives to our enemy. First of all, we see the Bible says he's our adversary. He's an opponent. He's against us. No matter what side you're on, the enemy is against you and your family and your life. And he's seeking to destroy. He's seeking to destroy at any cost, not mattering who he hurts in the case. We have an adversary that is against us. You don't have to do anything. The adversary is already against you. But the question is this, are you against the adversary? Have you chosen the team, the side that you're on, that you are against Satan, the enemy? We have an adversary. The Bible says another term for the devil is he's a roaring lion, a vicious, dangerous animal that would destroy anyone in a moment if we allow him to. He's an adversary. He's a roaring lion. The book of Ephesians says he's the prince of the power of the air. It says, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Satan that rules this sin-cursed world, the prince of the power of the air. You see, well, we have a wicked world that we live in. That's because Satan is in charge of the things of this world. He is a defeated foe, right? He's a defeated foe. He's going to be defeated. But he's one that is so defeated, he knows I'm going down and I'm taking everyone I can with me. The prince of the power of the air. You look around and think, how could the world be so wicked as it is today? Because Satan is messing as much up as he can. The prince of the power of the air. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 4:4, he's the god of this world. It says, in whom the god of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the glorious light of the gospel of Christ, who is in the image of God, should shine unto them. Satan, the god of this world, is trying to blind the minds of those that don't know Christ so that they would never know Christ until that glorious light of the gospel comes and changes lives. Aren't you thankful for the gospel that can break the chains loose of hell and of Satan, of sin? Satan has control of too many people's lives tonight. The god of this world. The Bible says in Revelation 12:10 that he is the accuser of the brethren. It says, and I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength in the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. He's the enemy. He's the enemy. I know sometimes it's easy to find someone that is your enemy, but Satan truly is our enemy and always will be the enemy of God, the accuser of the brethren. He's accusing you. Satan has told so many lies. We'll get to that point here in a moment to us. Try to get us to think that we are doing what's right, but he'll take that and turn on you in a minute. The accuser of the brethren, day and night accusing before God. I think of Job, that Satan came to present himself before God, and God said, have you seen my servant Job? And God really presented Job before him. But I think of, look at the working of Satan. As much as God allows him to, as God took his hand up off of the life of Job for a period of time to allow Satan, and Satan destroyed everything he could. Killed and destroyed everything he could. That's the accuser of the brethren. The Bible says he's our enemy. In Matthew 13:38, it says, the enemy that sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the world and the reapers are the angels. But it talks about the devil, that he is our enemy. He is the enemy. There's a contest. There's a battle. And Satan truly is our enemy. In John 8:44, it says that Satan is a murderer. It says, you are of your father, the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there was no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. He's a murderer. He would love to kill and to destroy any and everything that he can. What an encouraging thought tonight, isn't it? But may we understand the gravity of the matter, that Satan is real, that Satan is our enemy, and that Satan is taking down way too many lives. Satan is winning far too often. But let me tell you this, but it's by our choice. When Satan wins, Satan has no power over God. Satan has no power over the Word of God. Satan has no power over the Holy Spirit. He has only the power that we allow him to have, because the Bible says if you resist the devil, he will flee from you. With Christ in you, you have victory over Satan, the devil. He is a murderer from the beginning. The Bible says that he is the father of lies. The second part of that verse says, when he speaketh a lie, He speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. He's the father of lies. You go to back to Genesis chapter 3, and what happens there? That Satan comes to Adam and Eve and said, the day ye eat thereof, ye shall, what does he say? Ye shall not surely die. He took the truth and turned it just enough into a lie. He takes something that looks good and tries to turn it just enough to make you think, well, I think it's still something good, but now it's turned into a lie because he's changed the truth. He's the father of lies. Satan will never tell you the truth. He'll never tell you the truth. You look at billboards and commercials and ads, he shows you the beginning. He'll never show you the end. He'll show you how it starts, the fun, the pleasure in sin for a season. He won't show you the destruction that happens afterwards. He doesn't show you the broken homes afterwards. He doesn't show you the ruined health. He doesn't show you the abuse. He doesn't show you all the terrible, broken relationships that come from that. Why? Because he's a liar. He's a liar. And he's the father of it. The Bible calls him in Revelation 12:9 that he is the old serpent. It says, and the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. He's that old serpent. He's that slimy snake. Now, if you have a snake, I don't know what I can say for you. Not worse than a cat, but it's probably close to that. I want nothing to do with snakes. I don't want to hold a snake. I don't really want it near me. But he's that old serpent. He's that tricky old serpent that's trying to deceive and slither his way to destroy lives. In Matthew chapter 4, he's called the tempter. It says, and when the tempter came to him, he said, if thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. The tempter tried tempting Jesus Christ himself. The boldness of the devil. The sad thing is that many times Christians think, it would never happen in my home. It would never happen here. If Satan will attack the Son of God and said, if thou be the Christ, he said, if thou be the Son of God, he's even denying that Jesus is the Son of God and tried to deceive him into sin. He is the tempter. He is the tempter. God will not tempt you with sin. That comes from the devil. Never comes from God. He is the tempter. In Matthew chapter 13, he's called the wicked one. It says, and when anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which sendeth seed by the wayside. The wicked one comes by. You look at people today and you think, that's wicked. They're wicked. That is unholy, unrighteous, ungodly. You say, that's a little bit judgmental. There's a lot of wicked things in this life. There's a lot of wickedness in this world, but he is the wicked one. He gets the title, if you will, of he is the wicked one. There is no good in him. The Bible says in John chapter 10 that he is the thief. It says, the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and they might have it more abundantly. He's a thief. He's going to come and take everything that he can, even without asking. And he'll take more. And he'll destroy. You understand, we have an enemy tonight. You look at the term for Satan, he's not one to play with. He's not one to have fun with. A few thoughts tonight about this subject. Number one is this, and we've mentioned already, but we have a real enemy. We have a real enemy. Not make-believe, he's real. Not Satan would love to, and people want to, I don't know, fantasize, to make fun, to make the devil seem like something or someone to play with, and he's out there to give you a good time. Satan truly is our enemy. He's real. He's real, and he is smart at what he does. The Bible talks about the wiles of the devil, the tricks of the devil. Satan is not make-believe. Satan is not our friend. He's not one to welcome into your life. He's not one to have a play date with. He's not one to kind of see how things are going with the devil. He is our enemy. He is our enemy. You say, well, we know that we're in church tonight, but how many Christians are playing around with the devil? How many Christians are meddling with things that this world has to offer that comes straight from Satan, and from hell, that comes from the devil. And we're allowing Satan to have an entrance into our life. Satan is smart at what he does. He's good at what he does. He's been deceiving for thousands of years, and he is good at what he does. And Satan is not our enemy. Satan is our enemy. He's not our friend. He is smart. And Satan wants to ruin your life. Satan wants to ruin your home, your health. Satan wants to ruin everything good in your life, wants to ruin your church or the Bible. He wants to just keep people from getting saved. All the negative you can say, that is what Satan's propaganda is all about. He's not going to tell you that up front, but that is what he's about. The Bible says, resist the devil and he will flee from you. Again, Satan has no power over a Christian. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. When you have God on your side, you can resist the devil. But it's your choice if you do. It's your choice of whether you are already targeted as his enemy. You are already labeled as his enemy, every single person. But have you labeled him as your enemy? Public enemy number one. The Christian life is not a game. I guess that's what I'm trying to get at tonight. The Christian life is not a game. Sin is not something to play around with. The world's agenda where they're going is not something just to be at peace and make friends and just kind of, you know, kindness just to get along with what the world's agenda is, because we have a real enemy, and it's the devil. The world is not our playground. This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. Aren't you thankful that one day, we'll get to enter a place where there is no sin, there is no death, there is no sickness, there is no night, and there is no devil? It's not a game. Someday, that day will come, but it's not today. Number one, we have a real enemy. Number two, we live in a wicked world. We live in a wicked world. That is no surprise, right? There is no surprise. You turn on any media outlet for a moment, and it's not a surprise how wicked this world has become. And we may think, well, it's more wicked than it's ever been. And yes, the world is getting more and more wicked, but it's been wicked since the beginning. it's been against God since the beginning. The world has never been going the way of the Lord. Predominantly, wide is the gate that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. But straight is the gate, and narrow is the way that leadeth to life everlasting, and few there be that find it. There's many going the wrong direction. Hey, if you look at the polls, generally, what is everyone doing? Okay, let's do the opposite. What is everyone thinking? Well, that's probably wrong. That's the way of the world. We live in a wicked world that wants to legalize sin. That wants to legalize sin to where we say, well, as long as the government says it's right, because they're following the word of God, right? As long as it's legal, it's okay. No, it's not. What does the Bible say? We ought to obey God rather than man. Legalizing sin, outlawing God's word, that it's illegal to have God's word. There's many countries around this world where it is illegal to have the word of God, where those that are there will oppose you. I'll never forget when we went to Egypt that there was a man that they told us about, and he got a Bible. He got saved, and he took his Bible, and he was not allowed to read it at home, and their family would kill them. They would kick him out, disown them, and he said he would go out, and he went to a park and buried his Bible in the ground so that when he went out at night, he could walk the dog and go find the Bible and pull out the Word of God and read it and bury it again and come out the next day and do the same. And I believe it was one of his family members, his sister, I believe, that followed him to see where he was going, told the family, and they brought him home and chopped off one of his hands because he read the Word of God. We live in a wicked world. The world is against God and his word. They're not here to make friends. The prince of the power of the air, the god of this world, is not here to make friends with God and his word. A world that promotes filthy living. I don't want to go into details for the sake of younger ears here, but the world that promotes disgusting, filthy living promotes it, magnifies it, awards and applauds those that live the most wicked, horrendous lifestyles and say, we're so proud of your wicked lifestyle. That's the way of the world. We may say, well, I'm not doing that. I'm just going a little bit. I'm just taking little steps towards the world. I'm not taking the big steps, just a little ways. That's still going the way of the world. The Bible says in James 4:4, it says, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. You cannot serve two masters. You love the one and hate the other, hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve two masters. You're a friend of one or the other. You choose to love God or the things of this world. And the Bible says in 1 John, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. It's a love issue. It's a heart issue. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. That's Bible. And when we start allowing our affections to go to the way of this world, we're allowing the devil to take the place of our hearts to the things of this world. And the Bible says the love of the Father is not in him. Where you've directed your love to the world and away from God. The Bible says, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of the life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. We know that we live in a wicked world, but what are we doing to stand against the wicked world that we live in? God has placed you here to be salt and light and to make a difference, not to look and act like the world does. We should look and act different than the world does. A lost person should look different than a saved person. By your choice, God called us to be a peculiar people. If people don't look at you and think you look and act different than us, if people don't sometimes say, why don't you go here? Why don't you do that? Then maybe it's because we're joining up too much with the world and going their direction. They need you to stand up and be light in a dark world. They need to see someone that's different. The Bible says in 2 Timothy 3:13, but evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. The world is going to continually get worse and worse, and that's sad to think for our young people growing up in a wicked world, the things that they'll grow up in. I know it may not seem like it, young people. I did not grow up as a child that long ago, and where the world has gone in the last few decades, I would have never imagined that it would be where it is today. And those in the generations above me would probably say even more. Why? Because Christians are wanting to fit into the world, trying to be like the world, the churches, the Christians, our lives, just to fit in and try to be like the world. We live in a wicked world. We've got to be different. God has called us to be different, to be separate. It's a love issue. We live in a wicked world. And then thirdly, tonight is this. We'll try to end on a positive note. I'll help try to do that. Is this, we serve a powerful God. Hey, we have a real enemy, and we live in a wicked world, but we have a powerful God, don't we? A God that can do anything. The Bible says in Psalm 62, verse 11, God hath spoken once, twice have I heard this, that power belongeth unto God. Power belongs unto God. There's nothing that God cannot do. Nothing that God can't do. There's no one that God can't save their life or change their life. God can turn this world upside down and send a revival if Christians, I believe, would get real with their love for God, their separation from the world, and preach the gospel to the lost. God can change this world if you be serious about who the enemy is and then who your God is. Matthew 28:18, Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. I don't want you to leave tonight thinking defeated. I want you to leave tonight thinking victorious. You don't have to go live defeated this week. You don't have to. I'm not saying everything's going to be good and going your way and all easy, but with God on your side and the Word of God and prayer, God can do anything. Ephesians 1:19, it says, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him up from the dead and set him at his own right hand in heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also that which is to come. There's power in the name of God. There's great and mighty power. Again, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Living a victorious life, resisting the devil. The power of God still saves souls from hell. The power of God defeated death. The power of God changes lives. The power of God still answers prayer. The power of God created this world. The power of God controls nature. The power of God can heal the sick. The power of God gives victory over sin. We serve a powerful God. We have a real enemy, but he is defeated. And one day he will be defeated once and for all. And he'll be thrown into that bottomless pit and the key locked away, and Satan will never get out again. And he'll be stuck there for all eternity. He knows that's where he's going. And he has no power over that, so he's going to do his best to destroy as much as he can along the way. We sing that song, "What a Mighty God We Serve." What a mighty God we serve. Maybe there's a situation in front of you and you realize that God can change and do anything. You apply the word of God and prayer and faith, and you wait on God, and God can do anything. Don't live defeated. Live in the power of God. We have a real enemy. May we not play around with the enemy this week. May we not just kind of check out what the enemy is doing this week, see what the enemy has to say, see where the enemy's direction is. I understand we need to be aware of how things are going in this world, to pray and to vote and to witness and all those things. But we have too much time spending on the enemy's turf. Too much time. You ever play a game and your teammate decides to go jump to the other team? You're like, I hate you more than everyone else on that team now. You're a traitor, backstabber. You went to play for the other side. How many times in the Word of God did they literally draw a line in the sand and said, who's on the Lord's side? You come over here. This is God's side, and you're on the other side. You choose a side. And tonight, we've got to choose our side. God has already chosen you. You know that? God has already chosen you, that God loves you. If you know Christ as your Savior, that God saved you, that God, when you receive that gift of salvation, you have chosen to be on the Lord's side. The Bible says in Revelation 12, I won't read all the verses, but at the end of the passage, you're speaking of the devil. It says it's about Satan. It says, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. Time is short. No man knows the hour when Christ is coming and when the saved will be taken and the dead in Christ shall rise. But Satan does know this. His time is short. His time is short. And he's walking about seeking whom he may devour. He's looking tonight. And who does the devil look for? Probably the weakest. He looks for entrances that we give in our lives. He looks for areas that we've let him come in. Again, if there was a roaring lion walking about your neighborhood, would you swing your door open? I wonder what's out there, you know? You hear gunshots. Don't open the door and go look, you know? Satan, a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. You'd lock up, you'd bunker, if you have a real bunker or not, I don't know, and you'd get in there and think, whatever I can to protect myself and my family, and you take all the precautions that you can. We have a real enemy, we have a wicked world, but we do serve a powerful God. Choose the side that you're on. Choose the side. Hey, we all have victories, and we all have defeats. We all have areas where our flesh and our the love is trying to be taken to one direction and continually turn that back to God. Say no to the devil. Say no to this world. Say no to your flesh. And get in your Bible and spend time in prayer and ask God for victory and help to defeat the devil each and every day. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. That's a command. He will flee from you. He will leave, but it's on your turf. The ball's in your court. What are you going to do with that? Head bowed and eyes closed tonight as we begin the invitation time. We do have a real enemy. He's powerful. He's good at what he does. I'm sick of the devil. I'm sick of the devil ruining lives. I'm tired of seeing those being turned from the truth to a lie that have chosen to follow the way of this world. When you know the truth, when the truth is in you and it sets you free, why would we walk the way of this world? Why would we choose to go the other direction? Maybe you're here tonight and you don't know Christ as your Savior. You don't know that if you died tonight that you would go to heaven. Jesus Christ loves you. He died for you. He shed his blood to pay the full payment for your salvation. If you don't know you're saved tonight and on your way to heaven, at the invitation time, if you step forward, we'd love to show you from the Word of God how you can know that. Know that you're a Christian. You're a Christian because you come to church and because you hold the Bible and whatever it may be. You must trust Christ as your Savior, be born again. Maybe there's areas in your life and my life where we've allowed some entrance from the devil. May we see the importance of setting up a guard and protection from the devil and staying close to the Savior to protect our lives from the destruction that the devil wants to bring our way. Whatever God spoke to you about tonight, would you respond to that as the Lord has spoken?